Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
We are back for Caravan of Garbage. I wish it was completing. We're doing all the Christopher Reeve Superman movies.
Effortlessly charming Christopher Reeve. Great. Just a shining light in movies of wildly varying quality, in my opinion.
Yeah, it does feel like diminishing returns.
Now, you must be happy watching this one, though, because Marlon Brando's not in it. First one that he's not in.
It certainly it helps.
Side note, have we mentioned how weird it is that both Marlon Brando and Russell Crowe have both portrayed Jor-El, Superman's father, but also pre-finding fame in the movies, Russell Crowe, as musical artist Russ LaRocque, released a single called I Just Want to Be Like Marlon Brando.
Oh my goodness.
Do you think that when he got the role as Jor-El, he was like, the prophecy's true?
The prophecy I said?
Yes.
My music is magic and real. It makes things real and happen.
Now I'm bringing back 30-odd foot of grunt.
TOEFOP, great podcast. Check it out if you do want to. You do want to. Leave a like if you want, Mason. That'd be great. Have you left a like this week? Of course he has. Look at him. He's doing it now. He's done it. He's done it. Yep. He's absolutely done it. Did you know Superman 3 was originally called Superman versus Superman before they were threatened to be sued by the producers of Kramer versus Kramer?
Huh.
Yeah.
The non-superhero drama.
Yeah, but
it's not even Michael Richards Kramer versus Michael Richards Kramer.
No, absolutely not. So, but it is also, it's a confusing film in terms of, like, who's the villain? Where is it going?
Is it a comedy?
Who's the main character? Is it Superman? Not really.
Look, at the outset, as you watch it, you get the idea very quickly. They wanted it to be two things.
Yeah.
And so it just comes across as two separate movies. One is a Superman movie with not a lot going on, really.
Yeah.
And the other is a slapstick Richard Pryor comedy where he's like he's an unemployed bum, and then it turns out he's really good with computers, and he runs a heist, and he gets in up to hijinks. Yeah.
And you know also it's not really a Superman movie where one of the major action sequences in this movie is Richard Pryor explaining a thing that Superman did.
Yeah.
And acting it all out. So I don't know.
There's a lot of, they've given him a lot of space to do Richard Pryor stuff.
But it's not good improv.
No, I mean,
there's
a point where he...
He's not bouncing off anybody either. They just all stand there.
Well, exactly. They it seems like they gave direction. Richard Pryor's going to do some Richard Pryor stuff.
Yeah.
Just everybody else stand there and cop it. Because there's a point where Superman, he's come back to Smallville and he's receiving an award on stage from the people of Smallville. And Richard Pryor just shows up dressed as a military general in a Jeep with some kryptonite to kill Superman or impede him in some way. And then rather than just throw it at him, he decides to do this thing where he's going to also present Superman with an award, and he does a big monologue about
the military or
something.
I don't remember what the monologue was about because it went for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it wasn't good.
It wasn't bad. Did you know, though?
I like him in things.
So do I.
But not this. But not this particular thing, which I hadn't seen since I was a kid. I think this is my second viewing of this.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Exciting, isn't it?
Yeah.
So he was also, he was obviously a big name at the time. And like Brando, he was paid like a staggering amount of money, $5 million. And he's famously, like I said, he did it for the money. He also had like a crippling drug addiction at the time. Mm-hmm. And he hated the movie. He was like, it's a bad movie. Everybody in this movie hates this movie.
A lot of people who weren't in this movie hated this movie. I'm going to guess Gene Hackman hated this movie.
Sure.
Because he's not in it, so they just replaced Lex Luthor with a guy who was basically Lex Luthor but less interesting.
Yeah, he's less interesting, but he also does more Lex Luthor stuff. Mm. Like, he's a rich, successful businessman.
Great.
He's running multiple businesses. Well, one's coffee and one's oil. Maybe he's doing other things. Those are the two that I remember him mentioning.
Mm.
But this movie's just slapstick city, yeah. Really. They've really just ramped that up, and I don't think there's a better example of this than when Richard Pryor takes a set of skis and just skis off the roof of a skyscraper.
And then he isn't saved by Superman.
Or anybody.
Anybody. He just falls off a roof and then lands and then falls off another roof and then ends up on the street. Oh, side note, this movie opens and it reveals to us that Metropolis is like the world's worst Rube Goldberg machine.
I wrote it's the exact
just,
thing.
It's just a series of like interlinked domino-style disasters that are constantly happening. And as I'm watching this, I'm like, oh, that guy's going to fall off this bridge and these telephone booths have crashed together and the car's going to crash or whatever.
And the bank robber runs out or whatever.
I'm guessing that Superman is going to whoosh in and he's going to solve everybody's problems. He's going to rescue this person. Mm-hmm. He's going to stop that bank robbery and whatever. He doesn't.
No.
He stops like one guy.
And the Penguin.
He blows out a flaming penguin and he rescues a guy from drowning in a car.
Yeah.
But the rest, everybody else, like the blind...
The robber gets away.
The robber gets away. That guy falls in a ditch, a blind man...
He hits a guy in the face with a pie.
Yeah, the blind man walks through a valuable painting, like...
I don't know.
What was this meant to show us beyond that Superman...
Hijinks!
It's a
Richard Lester loves the hijinks. Mm. There's a moment in the movie where a husband thinks that his wife has spent hundreds of thousands of dollars, so he just smushes a grapefruit into her face and then just continues to eat it.
Uh-huh.
There's a moment where the two crosswalk guys getting a little punch up, a little animated punch up.
The little electronic guys in the traffic signals, yeah.
Why does he do things like this?
Richard Lester. Yeah. I don't know, because it's funny.
It's not funny.
It's not funny.
It wasn't funny at
you
the time.
You called my bluff. It wasn't funny.
It's also a bit confusing in terms of like what year this is supposed to be, because it came out in 83, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But Gus Gorman's checks, it also reads 1983.
That's Richard Pryor's character.
Correct. The 20th high school reunion of Clark Kent appears to be set in 1985 because he's from class of 65.
Okay.
And the Olympics are also happening, which happened in the summer of 84. But I guess it's a comic book world and all these things happen.
Yeah. There's a Statue of Liberty in Metropolis.
Yes, there is. So, isn't there? Yeah. You're right. What am I doing? I want to talk about Chris Reeve, though, because you said that he is a beacon of light and hope and charm.
And you know what? This is a worse movie, but he's looking better than ever, quite frankly.
He looks great.
Now, dig on this, James.
Yeah.
His evil version of Superman is what evil version of Tobey Maguire Spider-Man wishes he could be. His hair's looking great. He's got the perfect amount of 5 o'clock shadow. The suit is dark and just dark enough.
He's got like a darker tint, like a tan. He's had a spray tan.
Yeah, that's right.
Here's the thing about the hair, though. I didn't realize this. Christopher Reeve suffered from alopecia.
Oh.
Not male pattern baldness, you know, alopecia where you get the random spots.
Yeah.
So in 3 and 4, he's wigged up.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well, it's a really good wig.
I agree. It's terrific. But yeah, you're right. He's never looked better. And on top of that, he puts in 100% despite not wanting to do this movie since Richard Donner was fired from The Last.
Mm.
They were looking to replace him. So again, they went on the hunt around Hollywood for names. I've got more names, Mason.
Great.
Travolta.
Huh.
Jeff Bridges.
Okay.
Kurt Russell.
Mm.
They settled.
These options are better than the last ones.
I agree.
I don't know why they. Why Dustin Hoffman in there?
Well, here's what they apparently settled on.
Yes.
They settled on Tony Danza.
Look, I'm not 100% against it.
I guess.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
But apparently they pleaded with Reeve like days before it all came together, and he agreed only if he could change the script, and he did to some extent. But I think, though, he brought things to this which I think add to the story in a big way, because when he goes back to Smallville, I was watching some interviews of him, he makes the decision to go, well, I don't need to put on this bumbling persona because I grew up here, so I can just act as the person that they knew me as then, like just 20 years on, because he's not doing as much tripping over stuff and that kind of
That's
thing.
True, yeah.
He's much cooler and calmer.
And he's very much like at one point he stands up against the, I guess, his bully in this movie, yeah. who's like, oh, this, I'm going to show this kid how to bowl. And he's like, you let the kid can bowl on his own and I will destroy this bowling alley.
And everybody in it, yeah.
Yeah, and look, they didn't replace Reeve.
No.
But they did their darndest to replace, well, I mean, Hackman. Not,
yeah.
But also, speaking of Smallville, they did replace Lois Lane, Margot Kidder as Lois Lane,
yeah.
essentially with Annette O'Toole as Lana Lang. Yeah. Lois Lane appears right at the start and she's like, I've got to go. And
I'm on holiday.
Yeah.
5 minutes, 12 lines.
And then she shows up at the end and she's like, I'm back. And then the movie's essentially like, well, guess what? You've been replaced with this new person and she's got a diamond ring from Clark Kent. And then she just goes, ugh. And then that's the end.
And I guess she got fired or died between movies because she's not in the next one.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. I think Annette O'Toole's great, though, honestly. I mean, she obviously shows up in Smallville later. I have to say that because people will tell
us. Martha Kent, that's
Yeah, that's right.
Right.
But, yeah, Margot Kidder, they said that, look, her relationship with Clark Kent, it ran its course because she got her memory wiped, so that relationship essentially no longer exists
okay,
anymore.
I see
and I'm
the
like,
logic
I,
there.
I guess. Okay fair
but
enough.
But also, you could have just not mind wiped her at the end of the last
yes, that's
one.
That's right.
And that would have been fine.
Speaking of replace, though,
yes.
they use Christopher Reeve's high school photo as opposed to Jeff East, who played young Christopher Reeve
that's right.
in the first Superman movie, who they put on a wig and prosthetics and also dubbed over his voice with Chris Reeve. And he didn't know that. And for years, they had this kind of beef.
They proused him.
They proused
David
him.
Proused
that's
him.
Right.
Wow.
So, but then they went, well, I mean, we're also
David,
taking you out of this.
And David Prowse was Christopher Reeve's trainer on the previous movie, so they probably heard him talking about how they stole his identity as Darth Vader and then went, what a great idea.
I agree.
Mm.
Yeah. Good stuff all around.
Yeah. That being said, I think the tiny snippets of like interact, I think the cast for the most part seem to have settled into their roles in this.
Yeah.
Like if they'd given them a better movie and more chance to, you know, to interact. Because I think the tiny interactions we had between Clark and Lois and Jimmy Olsen and Perry White, I think they were actually kind of the best. From
sure.
as opposed to previous ones. But again, they got a minute each, so.
I also think there's some really decent Supermaning in this. There's the fire scene where, you know, he uses the lake to put it out and he grabs the big pipe and they all slide down it.
Yeah.
Like, you see him kind of problem solving.
Yeah, right.
And I think that's genuinely good Superman stuff. There's also too much acid in this movie.
There's a whole room of acid.
Well, there's a whole
room. There's more acid than all the other Superman movies put together, as far as I know.
So there's a room of acid. Mm-hmm. There's a pit of acid in the Superman v Superman fight, which we will talk about. And at the end, he uses a loose jar of acid to destroy the computer.
And in a way, I'm like, well, this is better than flying backwards through time or whatever, because there was they foreshadowed it. They're like, don't get this acid hot, otherwise it'll acid everything.
What if it's a different type of acid? All acid's the same, we think. We're pretty sure. There's also another Superman moment that I really love is the bit where he goes into the photo booth, takes the photos, and he rips it off, and he takes the time to go, here you go, kid, and he runs off.
He gives the kid the Superman photo, but not the three where he's changing into Superman. Yeah, a funny joke from Richard Lester. You've got to give it to him, James.
I wouldn't even say it's a funny joke. I would say it's just a moment that feels authentically Superman.
Yeah.
I also like the transition where he runs behind the fence and he kind of changes into Superman. I know there is that kind of weird fade as he does it, but
yeah.
I think that's a cool kind of like image as well. You know what I mean? That kind of feels like a comic book transition.
Did you know that the original
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
For this film included Brainiac, Mr. Mix's Piddalick, and Supergirl.
I did know that. And they're like, yes.
We don't like this. So instead, it'll be about the computer guy and also a guy who wants to make a killing in coffee and oil. And then they build a big computer, and Superman fights a big computer.
So the computer is like a hangover from, that was supposed to be like a Brainiac invention.
Yeah, right.
And the villain, the Lex Luthor knockoff, mm-hmm. was supposed to be Brainiac, right? Was that the idea?
My guess would be that he was going to be Lex Luthor.
No, I think he was supposed to be Brainiac. I think that he was
not teaming up with Lex Luthor.
No, he was hiding out on Earth or whatever. Because Brainiac's all about computers or whatever.
Sure, yeah.
But it's not very...
He's a real Brainiac, that guy.
I mean, you think he's going to get like someone to punch at the end when the computer builds a robot, which I remember seeing as a kid and just being like, well, that's the most terrifying thing I've
ever
seen. It's
the face and the wig on top of the face.
It's horrible. Yeah, it's really horrible. But then he just kind of zaps her and she kind of tumbles into a little ditch.
Yeah.
And then he fights a computer and it's just like shifting parts and lasers and whatever. It's nothing. Mm. And full credit to Chris Reeve because he really looks like he's giving it his all fighting that computer.
But imagine if it was like a big robot skull because it's actually Brainiac. Exactly, that would have been good. Yeah.
It's also...
I mean, not good, probably, but okay.
Here's a joke, probably. Richard Pryor, who's inexplicably good at computers, his schematic for the computer just looks like something a child made. Just like, on my computer, it's got this many batteries and this many hard drives, and it's got a big screen as big as a face or whatever, and you know what I mean? It's just like, I don't know, that's a gag, right?
Who knows?
I should just assume it's all gags.
Well,
right?
I don't know, because it was also in that point of, it was also that era. Like at one point, somebody I think unironically says, the ultimate computer.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Well, I think he says something like, this is like a regular computer, but it can do 1,000 more things. Wow, 1,000, huh? That's pretty good.
Can it play ski free?
Can it turn a person into a robot?
Yep. Or play ski free. You can't do both at the same time.
Well, yeah, processing power, obviously. So even though we do have like a villainous computer and a sort of villainous Richard Pryor and a man who's sort of Lex Luthor or Brainiac.
And some couple of henchwomen.
Couple of henchwomen as well, yeah.
Including Billy Connolly's wife.
Yes, that's right.
Pamela Stevenson, Lady Connolly.
And a woman
who's a psychiatrist in addition to being an actor.
Really?
Did you know that?
I did not know that. Yeah. And a woman also who's just referred to as being comically old and ugly, where she just looks like a... To me, she looks like a regular person.
And that's Robert Vaughn's sister, is that?
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. So there
and
you
the
go.
Butler who appears briefly.
Oh, there's a butler, isn't there? Yeah. I like his little 80s hideout, his skyscraper situation. It's good.
It's better than living in the sewers.
I agree. Mm. Yeah. But no, the villain of this piece, I would say, that people remember is Evil Superman. And I think the next movie went, what if we just did Evil Superman for the whole movie?
Well, I think I've been, for years, I've been confusing elements of the last two movies because I remember, like, from watching it as a kid, I remember him, I thought maybe they'd created an evil super, the computer created an evil Superman.
Sure.
But ultimately he just, you know, Superman became evil for a little bit and then fought an illusion of himself, which makes me wonder, was it like a Fight Club scenario? Are there a bunch of, like, junkyard workers just looking at a Superman beating himself up and throwing himself through walls?
I thought they were both real. Because they're both physically, like, hitting things. He really looked like he went in that trash compactor as well. They did that for real. Yeah. Obviously, it wasn't a real trash compactor. But didn't it look like that he was actually getting crushed in that?
Giving 110%.
I completely
Christopher
agree.
Reeve.
Yeah. Also, I thought...
Maybe he was. Maybe he does split into two. I'm not sure.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's some pretty.
I think it's just junkyard workers looking at Superman going, stop hitting yourself. Oh, stop hitting yourself.
I wish that they hung around to see that fight because they're all like, let's get out of here. A man or two men are going insane. And we should, and we should go.
Superman's going to beat up that guy who works at IBM.
So, but the reason, though, he turns evil is because, again, it was revealed in an interview that kryptonite is his weakness. Mm. And that's why they attempt to make kryptonite and they fill in the blanks with tar. And that's what turns him evil.
Uh-huh.
But again, it's the same as the first movie. Maybe don't tell everybody your weaknesses, Superman. What's wrong with you?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
Maybe he just loves a scoop.
Maybe. That's true. Yeah.
Yeah. So some of his evil acts are he straightens the Leaning Tower of Pisa and two just very dirty Italians in front of a green screen. They're not having it, are they, Mason?
No. Yeah. But they get two scenes.
They get two
which
scenes.
Which makes me wonder if they were famous at the time.
Maybe.
Maybe there was some sort of dirty Italian comedic duo. Maybe they're famous in Italy. I don't know.
Maybe they are.
Maybe they're Mario Puzo's friends.
That's entirely possible. He puts out the Olympic flame.
Which made me wonder, what do they do if the Olympic flame actually does
go? I think
go
they
out?
Have a spare, like, they have a reserve, like, one. Also, yeah. Who cares, really?
No, I don't care.
It's fire. Yeah. It doesn't matter.
It's true.
It's all the same, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
but what happens is what they're about to put it into the big Olympic fire bowl thing, and it goes out, and then an announcer comes out, and he looks directly at the crowd, and he goes, you saw nothing. Yeah, none of you saw anything.
Shut your mouth.
They do the slit throat. Pose,
absolutely, yeah. He also gets drunk.
Yep.
Famously in the bars, flicking peanuts.
He could do that.
He also
in the new Superman and Lois, the trailer for the new show. That Superman goes, man, I wish I could get drunk sometimes.
Yeah,
but,
me too, Superman.
Maybe if you're on kryptonite, maybe if you're on tar kryptonite, you can.
Yeah, you can get drunk, exactly. And one of the final acts is he breaks open an oil tanker for sex. And then I completely.
But haven't we all, you know?
But I completely forgot this because then immediately after he flies back to the woman's house and then has sex with her. Like it cuts to black. But then what I find hilarious, when they meet up at the end, he goes down to fight the robot and she goes, oh, didn't it mean anything to you? Whatever. And he goes, lady, I don't know you.
Yeah.
But the thing is, right?
Direct quote.
But he would have had to have known her because he knew to go and fix the oil tanker. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, I see what
he's
you're saying.
He's just like, I would never. Not right. Me. I'm Superman. I don't do that.
And I guess if you're Superman, you could be like, these aren't my kids. I was on gold kryptonite at the time. Couldn't have been. It was my double? Evil double. I don't know.
Also, he went to her apartment after he turned good and there was the message waiting for him.
That's a good point.
He clearly remembers.
And they were like, Superman, come to us if you dare. And then they're like, we'll defeat him with, we're on little chairs with balloons attached. He'll fall into this trap where we just shoot rockets at an invincible man.
Yeah, exactly.
Also, that's not how computer games work.
Well,
you don't get points if you miss a target.
No, you don't.
You don't get points for trying Robert Vaughn.
No, well, I was going to save this for trivia, but I think most of our trivia has been used already. Oh, no, I've got one piece that I'll keep for later. But the video game...
Folks, look forward to our new segment, One Piece of Trivia.
The video game Webster Plays was created for the film. It originally looked so...
Really?
Yes, I know. I love this. It originally looked so lifelike that the creators were asked to make it more computer-like. I bet it didn't. Can you imagine how lifelike it could have looked? Like it would have tricked audiences?
Into
like, what is this? We don't understand. Jesus. Yeah. But I do love that evil Superman fight. Again, I think it's good Superman stuff. Again, it's 110% Christopher Reeve acting.
Mm.
You know, that face-off is good. They're just hitting each other with car parts and whatever. Yeah. And it ends with him strangling himself to death.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I just thoroughly enjoyed that.
It's good solid work. It's good fun.
I agree. And you know the bit where the computer hits him with radiation?
Yes.
That's from the comics, apparently. So maybe they took that from the comics, or maybe, as in with most of these movies, they didn't read any comics and anything that's the same is probably a coincidence.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Superman's been shot with so many kryptonite lasers at this
exactly.
point, you know what I mean?
Though, that being said, there was something similar used in The Death of Superman, so maybe The Death of Superman copied from this.
Huh.
There you go. Also, just, if you're fighting a big computer, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you were fighting a big computer, if I said, Mason, I need you to fight this big computer.
I would...
And you were Superman. Would you just stand around or would you just fly through it?
Yeah, I'd probably go into space and grab a meteor and then just drop it on the continent.
Yeah, exactly. Freeze breath, heat vision,
yeah.
Super clap. Or give it the clap, am I right? Because you know what I mean.
Lady, I don't know you, all right? It was purple kryptonite this time. I don't know.
Yeah. So here's a far bit of trivia, and I'm just going to leave it at this.
One piece of trivia.
One piece of trivia. Office Space. Look, if you've seen Office Space, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's right.
It's one of those things you have to mention, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Watch Office Space if you haven't, because it's much better than this. But if you've seen Superman 3, you'll get what I'm talking about in Office Space when you watch Office Space. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So after this, Christopher Reeve, who was, as I mentioned, very reluctant to return, was like, I'm done with this. And his reasoning was that he felt there was only so much you could kind of do with the character.
Uh-huh.
And he said similarly of James Bond. After Connery left, he didn't think the portrayals of James Bond and what they were doing with them, they were kind of becoming too far-fetched and a bit ridiculous. Uh-huh. And so I guess he wasn't a fan of like the Roger Moore era and, you know, the things that he was around for at that time. Mm-hmm. So
you're talking about Sean Connery.
Yeah, so he liked Sean Connery, but he didn't like the Roger Moore stuff, I should say. Yeah. Though Connery also did come back in 83 for a Bond movie.
That's true.
It's neither here nor there. But of course, he was talked back into returning for Superman 4,
mm-hmm.
A Quest for Peace.
That's right.
More like A Quest for Piss, probably, am I right? We'll come back, we'll talk about it, won't we, next week.
Batman v Superman, The Quest for Piss.
Oh, did you see I was watching some behind the scenes thing as well, and there's a moment where Batman runs out of the computer, a guy in like a Batman costume.
What?
It's just an outtake, like a prank. Like a prank.
I love pranks.
And you love jokes, and that's why you love this movie, Superman 3.
I didn't hate it as much as I thought it would. I don't think it was very good.
Nah.
But there are some good scenes in it.
I agree. Because I was going into this like, I don't think I'm going to be able to enjoy this at all.
Yeah.
But there was some things in here which I thought were fine.
I think you could take all the various good bits out of these movies and make a solid 10-minute YouTube video about it. You know?
It would be incomprehensible. It would be a random selection of scenes.
Yep.
But boy.
Would it be a random collection of scenes?
Wouldn't it ever? Anyway, this has been Caravan of Garbage. We do this every week. And if you do want them early, you can actually go to Big Sandwich.
Do,
I know, right?
Quest for piss.
If you go to bigsandwich.com and sign up, they always go up there early. Because Ben, who edits these, he gets them done a little bit early, doesn't he, Mason?
That's right.
Just for us.
Goes above and beyond.
He really does. So they go up there. But we also have bonus podcasts, including one on clickbait, including one on particular years in pop culture.
That's
we
right.
go through them. We do a bunch of movie commentaries, don't we?
That's right.
And we do a comic book club.
Yes.
We probably did The Death of Superman, or we're going to, aren't we?
Oh, we could, couldn't we?
We definitely should, yeah.
That scene with a laser.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine it?
It's a big laser.
I mean, I've seen it. I saw it in this, so I could see it in a comic.
Less moving, though.
Yeah, that's true, isn't it? I'll just move the page really quick back and forth.
Yeah, that's a good call.
But also, of course, we have a podcast called The Weekly Planet where we talk movies and comics and TV shows that comes out every Monday. If you do want to check it out, we do the news of the week and then we do a particular topic and we just get into it, don't we?
And then we say what we've been reading or watching that week.
That's right.
And sometimes it's hours of a terrible TV show or something because we're doing one of these videos.
Exactly.
Sometimes I'm like, I don't have time to watch anything else.
We watched all of The Inhumans.
Oh my God, but it was worth it in the end, wasn't it?
Well, it's worth it because we don't have to watch it again.
We never have to watch it again. Oh, I'm never going to have to watch Superman 3 ever again.
No, that's true. Yes. Anyway, thanks everyone for watching, though. We appreciate it.
That's right. Grab that gem, you guys. We'll see you next week.
Goodbye.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.